Alright, so here we are at the Chicago TARDIS 2018, and all of our friends are here. We get so many wonderful people. Tony Witt from the Doctor Who Target Book Club podcast is here with us. Are you having fun this weekend, Tony?
I am indeed. Hello, fellow time travelers. I almost went into the whole spiel there. I have to cut it off every time. It's become this habit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a good habit,
when
though.
When I'm on other podcasts, I almost start introducing my own podcast, and it's just like, oh my God, I hear it in my sleep now. It's insanity.
Well, let's start with the first part. How long have you been doing this podcast?
We, at this convention, recorded episode 42.
Okay.
Oh. Universe and everything.
There you go. You just have wonderful. To stop and at the, 42.
Yes, and the irony is we were in room 842, so it was just kismet. It was karma.
Nice.
We've been doing this for almost 2 years now.
So let's start with the beginning part. Tell us, what is the purpose of this podcast, as if the name doesn't give it away?
Okay, well, then I will go into the spiel. It's a podcast in which we take the insert adjective here task of discussing in story order all of the Doctor Who novelizations.
Wow! Okay.
So we started from the beginning with an Unearthly Child, which is not the most auspicious place to start, as it turns out, with the books. And we just did Wheel in Space, which is Wendy Padbury's first story, and she's one of the guests at the convention this weekend.
Wonderful. So tell me, how many books are part of this series? And
oh, dear God, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
In general.
Yeah.
Hundreds, right? No, not thousands.
165, I think, is the actual number. And if I'm not right about that, and I apologize for that, it's because we're not just doing the main range. We're also doing anything that had the name Target on it.
Okay.
Or anything that's a novelization.
So including all those new ones that came out last year.
Yes. Those definitely, because those count. Those definitely count as Target novelizations, even though they're BBC books.
So if you have 42 you've done so far, so there's a lot more to read and discuss.
We just are going to start the last season of Troughton Stories with our next one. So that means we've got, oh my God, we've got a lot to do.
Yes, you do.
We do.
So you know that we do a book of the week on Too Much Scrolling.
Right.
So would you suggest that our listeners get into the Target novelizations of Doctor Who episodes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If they... But here's the thing. They're an acquired taste for adults. For kids, they're great. If you've got children, by all means, have your kids read them, because it's the perfect introduction to reading. In fact, the weirdest thing was, I was not too long ago, I reread a Target novelization, and I'm trying to remember it right now off the top of my head, Tube of the Cybermen. By Jerry Davis, and there was a word that I had never heard before that I learned from that novelization, and now I'm blanking out on the word. But
so you didn't learn it very well.
I didn't learn it very well.
You're not going to pass the test.
No, I'm not going to pass the test.
But vocabulary,
at all.
I talk about vocabulary in my school job all the time. Mm. Adding to our vocabulary is very important, and reading is the way to do that.
Exactly. And especially Doctor Who, with American readers, you learn all these cultural differences you weren't aware of, such as the fact that Jamie's knife is called a dirk, which I had never heard before. Yeah. The novelizations, it's a very specific kind of knife that only the Highlanders used. And things like that, but that's minor. That's minor compared to the sort of things that adults would get out of these books.
Now, for these books, are they written for young readers in mind? Are they like the young adult movie? Young adult books?
Yeah. The target audience was always 9 to, I believe, the upward limit is 14 to 15.
Okay.
Yeah. With some of the books kind of straying outside that. Ian Martyr, however, was just much worse about that, because he kept, according to the editor, Nigel Robinson, Ian Martyr, who was also an actor in the series, kept trying to slip any sort of adult content he could into the books.
This is before the new adventures.
Yes,
the new adventures is certainly a much more adult range of storytelling.
Exactly. This is 1986.
Okay.
And in the last book that he worked on before he died, which was The Rescue, a Hartnell story, according to Nigel Robinson, he went on to this long spiel in the opening chapter about, are we a family-friendly podcast?
We are, so we can...
A particular act that adults enjoy.
And the third act of Hamlet.
The third act of Hamlet, exactly.
Something that's code in, for something somewhere.
Something in multiples of three, let's just say that, a particular act. And that's still in the published book.
Huh.
It's still this kind of Beavis and Butthead joke that opens the book. And it's not in the original, because that scene's not in the original.
Sure.
So, you know, it slipped things past the censors.
Sure.
All the
sure.
time. Yeah.
So obviously, writers can be mischievous, too.
Oh, God, can they ever. And we point it out every single time, because we're deliberately not family-friendly, and I think that's part of the reason why we have the listenership we do, because, you know, it's Doctor Who, you have to be good for the kids. But those of us who have been fans ever since we were kids, we know what to look for.
We've matured a little bit in the last 30, 50, 60 years.
A little bit, yeah, precisely. Precisely, those of us who are hitting 50 soon. So,
right.
Yeah, precisely.
Well, I'm thinking immediately of Marvel Comics.
Oh, yeah.
And how... in the 60s, they appealed to college-age kids.
Right.
And, you know, Stan Lee did a whole tour where he would go and do this. Mm-hmm. And as the stories aged, I shouldn't say the stories, as the company aged, the readership got older and older and older and older. Eventually, when Disney bought them, they basically had to reboot everything and try to bring it back to this young target age, what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds to me like Doctor Who went through that same growth where the people who watched the show
have matured,
got older and older and older. So they're obviously demanding more mature themes.
Exactly.
But eventually they made a conscious effort to bring it back to be the useful show that they...
And
that
that's kind of what the new BBC books are like, because they're definitely for that age range now, whereas the Notorious Virgin New Adventures were very definitely for an adult audience.
Most definitely. With extra scenes that may or may not have been necessary.
Oh, yes.
May or may not have moved the plot forward. They were just in there to sell books.
Yeah, we're looking at you, Gridlock.
So were they put in there with the idea that they could be extracted and you could publish them without them?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the expanded version.
Possibly. Possibly. In fact, I'm surprised no one's done a redacted version of Son of the Virgin. When Big Finish adapts them, they tend to take that content out.
Correct.
Yeah. Understandably, because as you said, it doesn't move the plot along.
It really doesn't. It's really a distraction from the plot. Big Finish, I'm glad you brought up Big Finish. Mm-hmm. They have done some wonderful things with the storytelling from those books.
Yeah, in fact, I was just talking with Nick Briggs at the banquet just now, and he was saying that they really wish they could do some more of those adaptations, but they haven't sold well.
Okay.
Yeah, the people who really want them, such as myself, are very vocal about it, but then the people who actually buy the CDs and the downloads don't really respond to them well. Probably because they're longer form, they're a little more expensive. And they fall outside, weirdly enough, Big Finish's own established timelines a bit.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Maybe that's it. It's a canonicity thing.
Oh, the canonicity of Big Finish is expanding, and it's phenomenal what we're getting. We're getting now in the new episodes of Doctor Who, where they left these chasms of other stories. And we, the community, we say, oh, well, that's going to be a Big Finish story. At some point, we have the nugget of what that story is going to be. They said they were on this planet. They said they were looking for this thing.
Yes.
But that's all they told us. Now Big Finish gets to go in and do some script writing.
Yes. I'm still waiting for Big Finish to do the Fifth Doctor Turlough story where they re-meet the Daleks, which will explain why Turlough is talking about Tegan and the Daleks at the beginning of his last story.
Ah.
Because we know that
it's in there somewhere.
It's in there somewhere.
Well, we are in the weeds with this conversation already, so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
What did you expect, Chip? Welcome to Chicago TARDIS 2018. That's all I can say.
All right, so I've got a question just in general. Every few years, a new actor comes in to take over as Doctor Who. Do writers pick a particular Doctor Who that they enjoy and work specifically on that character?
For the target novelizations, no. The way that works is that I'll give a potted history of this.
Okay.
Back in the 60s, there were only three books, and there were three adaptations. Okay. Two of them written by the script editor, David Whittaker, one written by Bill Strutton. And those books were incredibly good sellers, but the problem was that they were very expensive. They were mostly library editions. They were hardbacks for the most part. They did do paperback editions of them. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it wasn't until 1970, I hope I'm getting this date right, 1973, when W.H. Allen got the rights to those and mm-hmm. reproduced them in paperback, and they sold like hotcakes. And W.H. Allen contacted the Doctor Who production office and said, can we get some more of these? Do you have them kind of hanging around?
Yeah.
And the production team said, well, no, but we do have, you know, our script editor, Terrence Dix, who wants to do some book writing.
He certainly did.
And sure enough, he did.
Yeah.
Because I do know this figure. He wrote 65 of them.
Wow.
65. And then the next author who did the second runner-up is only 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Terrence Dix was certainly the prolific Doctor Who writer.
Yes. Yes. And he's the one that's going to kind of focus all the other writer styles.
Okay.
I mean, you either follow in the footsteps of David Whittaker, who only did the two, or you follow in the footsteps of Terrence Dix, who did so many more.
Mm-hmm. So when you're reading the Doctor Who novelizations, mm-hmm. could it be any Doctor Who? I mean, is it specific, like, this is the Tom Baker Doctor Who? That's the one I know. Cause,
you
know.
That's, right? That's the one.
Well, we won't be doing Tom Baker for probably another 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, because since we're doing them in story order.
Mm-hmm.
But the weirdness about Target novelizations is also they were not published in order of story order either.
Okay.
So you've got the three Hartnell ones at the very beginning that were done in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And then you jump to 1973, and then you get the first, if I remember correctly, the first John Pertwee story.
Okay.
And it just goes all over the place. So you'll have Dix himself doing various different doctors from different eras, and then this writer may come in and do this one. And
so for a young listener who wants to read these, mm-hmm. how intimidating is it to jump into this universe and just pick one of the books?
I mean, not at all. That's how we all did it.
Okay.
Those of us who are adult readers, that's how we did it.
Absolutely.
My first novelization, well, this isn't quite fair, but I watched the series for a long time before I ever read one of the novelizations.
Okay.
And my first one was Horns of Nymon, which I would not suggest anybody start with ever. It's a terrible story. You can tell Terrence Dix is bored by it. He's like, oh, God, okay, let's type this.
Contractual obligation.
Exactly.
Novel,
you know. But I think if you start anywhere, okay. That's how any of us started. Most of us started with Tom Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, what, a good 15 years into the show's history? So if you can start there, you can start anywhere.
I think I started with the episode that I liked the most mm-hmm. and then read the novelization of that. I think that's The Five Doctors.
Yeah.
I think I really enjoyed that episode. I really enjoyed the interaction of all the doctors and all their voices and all their characters. And then the characterization is certainly expanded so well in the novelization of that one.
Right. And there you have Terrence Dix novelizing one of his own scripts.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that double whammy effect. When he does his own scripts, it's marvelous.
Because he really enjoys his own work.
Yeah. Well, he does.
He does.
Now, that being said, he's a bit of a traditionalist, so even though the big story about Brain of Morbius was that he wrote the script, Robert Holmes came in, the script editor, and said, no, and we're going to rewrite the whole thing.
Right.
And Terrence Dix got it back, and he said, oh, this isn't my script anymore. Put someone else's name on this bland script, so... Mm-hmm. Being the cheeky fellow that he was, Robert Holmes renamed it under the pseudonym Robin Bland. And you would
think, he saying something, Steve?
That's very, very good.
And you would think that Terrence Dix would then take that script and say, okay, I'm going to do this the way I intended it. But no, he novelized the script as it was on screen.
So have you heard the news that Tom Baker has come out with a new novelization of a Doctor Who movie that he had in mind, and it's coming out in January.
Family. Yes.
Yes.
Is he really?
Yes.
That's been a long time coming.
Uh-huh.
Because he started working on that with Ian Martyr back when they were still on the show together. And
so this
is ages coming.
30, 40 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. They were pitching that to the studios way back in the mid-70s.
Okay.
And it was originally going to be Vincent Price, the Scratch Man. So that tells you how long
it was. Phenomenal. Yeah. I look forward to this book.
Oh, yeah.
Who's this, the co-author?
Ian Martyr. Yeah, Ian Martyr would have been the. Are you sure?
No, the.
It might be somebody
the guy,
adapting.
It's the guy who. Oh, it's an adaptation. Yes.
Okay,
right.
It is an adaptation.
The guy who did the Pirate Planet and.
Oh, that's James Goss.
James Goss is a phenomenal Doctor Who writer.
He is.
I love the last two books, and I really look forward to his work with Tom Baker on this project that's been happening for 40 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be doing Goss's books when we come to them, because his novelizations of those Tom Baker novels are really the only ones that exist, except for some fan versions. So what we're going to do is do the fan version first, and then do the James Goss version.
So basically, you could just do a podcast that is just Shada.
Yeah.
Because there are so many different versions of Shada at this point.
Oh, God, yeah.
That novelization, though. But that, I have to say, that novelization, that James Goss novelization, is beautiful.
It is. I have one issue with it, and of course, when we do it in 4 years, I'll say this again. But the one issue I have with it is that John Cleese character... who just appears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
James Goss has to give a backstory to that character, explain how he came about. And it's like, aw, come on, really? the brilliance of seeing him with Eleanor Braun at that moment is that you're not expecting either of them.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. It's just, that is Douglas Adams.
Yes.
It's just random and loony and zany. But what I will say about that novelization, it's got my favorite character death in it. And that would be, I'll go ahead and spoil it.
Spoilers from 40 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's the character, I'm going to mess up his name now. Theodore Straczynski, Kavinsky, whatever his name is. The guy who is doing the time experiment.
Okay.
That when he's shoved into the time sphere and he ages to death.
Yes.
We get that chapter from his perspective as he's aging to death over decades.
Oh, really? Wow.
And it is the most harrowing and sad chapter I think I've ever read.
Wow.
You get tears in your eyes and you're like, oh my God. And that's a moment that goes by in literally 5 seconds on screen.
Right.
So with your podcast, do you announce the books that you'll be reviewing ahead of time so people can read?
We do. And people know, because if they're in story order, they'll say, oh, well, if they've just done Wheel in Space, then the next one's going to be The Dominators.
Okay.
Unless we do, you know, a Halloween special like we did this time. We did a Choose Your Own Adventure book.
Okay.
Just because we could.
Well, that's a part of podcasts. You can do whatever you want to.
Right. Exactly.
Nobody's listening anyway.
True. That's not true. To all 9 of you, we apologize. To the 90 of you who downloaded my podcast since last night, we apologize profusely.
Steve, they're not nobodies. They're somebody.
That's
they
right.
are somebody.
That's absolutely.
There are just not many of them.
That's right. Wonderful. Well,
technical difficulties.
Yes, that's what I told her.
When it went down like that, you mean, yes. Oh, they're just family friendly right out the window.
So Tony, thank you so much for joining us. It's been wonderful having a conversation. So tell all our listeners all about your wonderful podcast.
Okay, where to find us and such?
Yes, all that.
All right, here we go. In fact, I have to do it from memory. Well, thank you guys, and thank you, fellow time travelers, for giving us your valuable time. You can find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/ Doctor Who Target Book Club Podcast, all one word with no spaces. SoundCloud.com/ Doctor Who Target Book Club Podcast, all one word with no spaces. We are also on a pristine Reddit. It's reddit.com/r/DWTargetBC. We are also on Twitter at DWTargetBC, which is why no one follows us. They can't find us. And you can also email us at Gmail, which no one does. So please email us at DWTargetBC@gmail.com.
Wonderful work. Thank you so much for being here. This is so much fun. Don't you?
Thank you.
Don't you just love Chicago TARDIS?
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to having you on the show at some point soon.
Oh, absolutely. We can talk over some Doctor Who books. Maybe I'll make Chip read a Doctor Who book or two.
You should. And we'll talk about it in a non-family friendly way.
Ah, excellent.